You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Welcome to the Beer Tour Guys Show, episode 18. Hopefully you were hearing Chris here pouring beer.
Hey, what's going on,
That's
guys?
That's how we like to start a show, is pouring beer, right? So Chris Colburn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You brought a whole bunch of great beer here. I'm excited to drink this. We're going to get a little buzz on this afternoon, I think. I think that's the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what today is?
It's the Prohibition Repeal Day.
Very good. We didn't even rehearse this. You just kicked it right out like that. That is correct. Today is officially Repeal Day. For those of you who do not know, on December 5th, 1933, the last state, which was Utah, ratified basically the 21st Amendment, which repealed the rest of Prohibition. So the 18th Amendment was Prohibition, and that happened we started enforcing it in 1920. So what a lot of people forget is that we were already drinking beer by this point. Repeal Day is the alcohol part of the law, liquor part of the law, right? So Prohibition being repealed was really two parts. May 11th, 1933 was the 3.2 part of the law. So 3.2 ABV, that's why most of our domestic beers are at that level. So interesting part of the history. So most people celebrate Repeal Day. Most people don't really know that May 11th, though, is really the beer day for the rest of us, right? And that's what we should care about. So that's a little bonus history to start off the show today.
Seriously.
It's almost like being at one of my talks, but there's definitely some a lot of Repeal Day. You ever gone to a Repeal Day party?
I have not.
Neither have I.
No. I've seen them, or you know, people dress, and I've not been to one.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just not cool enough to dress up.
Yeah,
like in period piece from the 1930s or the Prohibition era. I don't know. I don't have a good flapper outfit. You don't have a good flapper outfit.
No flapper outfit.
Yeah, that's not really my thing either. But I'm sure there's a few of them going on at some good cocktail bars here in Detroit. But we will not be doing that because we're talking about beer on
the
show, right? Let's shift to beer. So, Chris, okay, so you are the head brewer for Woodward Avenue Brewers in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. You started January of 2016. I got that right?
Yeah. Just about to hit 3 years now.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it's taken me this long to really have you on my show. Of course, I didn't have my show 3 years ago, so I guess that – it's not really the point.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been 3 years.
Doesn't seem like it's been 3 years since I've been there. So
give me a little bit of your background then, kind of before you got to Woodward Avenue Brewers.
Before I got to Woodward Avenue Brewers, I was either a coffee nerd or a banquet chef for Crowne Plaza Marriott. And that's.
So Crowne Plazas are like some of the nicer.
Yeah. I would do like lots of like corporate events, weddings, and stuff like that, you know, and just got. Under a good chef who was my aunt, who was a home brewer. And I used to go with her to the hardware store that is now the homebrew shop behind Coonan's. And that's kind of as I got older and into
Brewing
beer.
World. Wait.
Yeah, World of Brewing.
Oh, World. Oh,
but
my God.
But it was a Coonan's hardware store, I believe.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a brewery at the time.
Yeah.
And so as I got a little bit older and I was, you know, cheap and was like, hey, I can probably make this, and invested in, you know, like a 5-gallon all grain kit. And just from there, it was a focus. It was all my time and energy, and, you know, mega home brewer for a few years. And
mega home brewer.
Yeah, it's all I did.
I was
kind of affecting my job.
Because some people stick their toe in the water and they sort of do it here and there.
Oh,
but when you say mega, that means you
I'm
were knocking out some beers.
Staying up till 3 a.m., reading, getting up at 6 a.m., going to work, coming home, mashing in, staying up all night.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
Brewing 4 batches a week easily. Like it had become a pretty heavy duty focus.
Okay.
And
how did you drink all that?
I gave it to friends.
Okay.
I wanted
That's
feedback.
Typically the answer I hear.
Tell me it sucks. And you know, I have a couple friends who are pretty deep in the industry, or you know, beer nerds as well. And I remember one guy kind of turning away from me quickly with his head down, and I think he was getting ready to like not insult me and like dump it, and he's like, wait, you did this? And it was a bunch of guys I hung out and wrenched on like old motorcycles and scooters with, and every year we have a big event where people from like all over the Midwest East Coast come in, and so I supplied a bunch of beer for that. and a guy that came in from Indiana happened to be a brewer for Greenbush.
Oh, and wild. Okay.
Him and I just hit it off. Like, actually, that noise that my phone rang was him.
Oh, I thought I thought it was the console. I'm like, shit, what did I do wrong here?
No, he totally knew I was about to start talking to him.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's my brother from another mother
That's hilarious.
But him and I just hit it off, and he knew how bad I wanted to do this for real, and I got invited out to Greenbush. And I got invited back out to do another, like, shadow brew, and right about that time, I was selling off all my old punk rock t-shirts and anything that had any sort of value and saving up money to go take courses at Siebel.
Okay.
And
in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. So I saved up enough money to take the concise course, which was a 3-month course. And the Greenbush guys found out about that, and they kind of invited me for an internship. I just kind of did the job, you know, it just all of a sudden I was just working and there was somebody was just like, who's this guy's getting paid, right? And so I ended up on the payroll. And so I'd get up at 3 a.m. and drive from Ferndale, Michigan across the state, leaving my house and my very, very tolerant, supportive wife.
Wow.
And I'd sleep on a couch. And one of those nights I would work my cellar shift and I would serve beer and wait tables or bartend and just made things happen. And that's when I heard about the WAB, which was a 1/2 mile away from my house. They were hiring. And I'm like, and everyone's like, you need to give this a try, dude.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it worked out from there.
Wow. That's a wild story.
Yeah.
So you're in Ferndale, you're going all the way to Sawyer. So you know like every exit off 94 for sure.
Yeah, and I know where the good bathroom stops
oh,
were.
Oh, I bet you do.
And my favorite stop to make to just get off and grab quick gas, I noticed One Well Brewing was right across the street from
the
gas.
Portage Road exit. I know where that is.
So that was a good like, hey, this is a good spot to stop, grab a beer, shove something in my face. They had vegetarian food, so there was always something I could eat. And then I had like 2 hours more to go. And sometimes, you know, you'd hit Dark Horse or sometimes you'd hit
There's a lot of temptation on that
there
route.
There is,
isn't
and it
there?
Was one stop. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't.
Like, you know, that's what you get. You get one stop.
One stop, one beer.
Oh, that's
eat
so
some
funny.
Food and get going, especially on Friday or Saturday when it was like time to get home and you know take care of home type stuff.
I'm a Western Michigan grad, so you know I grew up here in the Detroit area, but so I know that drive like really good. And then post college, I moved to Chicago, so now I really know that drive good. Back and forth. So now it's crazy because as you're out in Sawyer, like that whole side, there's so many more breweries over there now. It's crazy. How many more have added, kind of filled in holes?
Just while I was there, you know, there was 2 or 3 that opened. And then within the last couple of years, they just keep, you know, Transient opened, Arclight opened. I can't even keep up.
I couldn't
with
even name them all.
Yeah,
for
now
you.
That I'm thinking, like, my brain's clogged with all the different breweries that have, you know, then you've got just outside of Michigan, you've got like Burnham Brewing, Zorn Brewing.
That's in Michigan City, isn't it?
Burnham Brewing and Zorn Brewing are both in Michigan City. And then, of course, like 18th Street and, you know, Three Floyds and all that. So you just right along that corridor and then just off, there's tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah, where in a lot of my years of living in Chicago, that was a huge area. I just didn't care. Never stopped as I was doing that. And it was so – like Greenbush was early to that if you think about it. And then you had the livery for a long time there.
Oh, yeah. They've been there forever.
Benton Harbor, right? I say it used to be – I remember the first time I took my wife in there and I'm sure we're using like the business route into Benton Harbor. She's like, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, I must really love you. You know, I'm sure she said, my wife has probably said to me a lot of times as we've driven to some shady areas to go to a brewery, right?
Yeah.
I must really love you to be going through here.
Do
you
this.
Know? Yeah. It's the story we all probably have been said.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's I get that look quite often.
Yeah. No doubt. I definitely relate. Oh, how funny is that? So now you're here. You're at Woodward Avenue Brewers, and you're changing stuff. You're doing stuff. I mean, you had a brewer. So how long did Greg Burke, your predecessor, how long did he brew there?
Greg was there for, I believe, 10 years.
That sounds – I thought it was something like that. Okay.
10 years, and then before him, there was somebody else who was a short period of time that I believe was Grant's assistant, and then it was Grant.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the one of the
assistant?
Original.
His assistant was Jeremy, wasn't it?
That was Rock? Greg's assistant.
I'm sorry, Greg's. Oops, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think the guy's name was possibly Dan, if I'm
– I'm not sure I ever met him.
Digging into my history.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's like probably early 2000s.
Wow, okay.
So I'm really the fourth guy in there.
For a brewery that opened in 1997, that's pretty amazing.
Yep.
When you think about it.
Greg stayed pretty close to some of the old family recipes and what was going on, and then the standard of, you know, having a couple guest taps. I like to create more work for myself at all times. So,
sure, why not?
Yeah, you know, just like let's see how deep I can get into this. So I've managed to knock most of the guest taps off. I was the first one to really change the old family, you know, basics of the Ruby Lager, the Custom Blonde, the Custom Porter.
Sure, and just I know them all.
Go in. I tried to keep, you know, things nice, blonde ale, which I have here. Keep things similar. I did a raspberry cream ale, which I made a seasonal thing. And then I took the Detroit Maiden and ran with it. Which she just went into retirement for a little bit.
Okay.
We had the Detroit Maiden where we did the Harvest Maiden, which was Detroit Maiden with cashmere hops from Top Hop
Farms. Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's going to go away for a little bit so we can do some fun new IPAs, something a little more modern. And then at the end of the summertime, we can have Detroit Maiden come back as throwback IPA and go back.
Yeah. I like that too.
Know, Crystal C60 and Munich malts, what I came up with.
Okay.
But, you know, that's not really the thing nowadays. And so that can come up, you know, and we can do that at the end of the summer and then do the Harvest Maiden, which I felt.
So how's the ownership then saying? Are they saying, hey, go wild
with it? You know, it was kind of just like when a new chef comes in, sometimes you're going to have to listen to the new chef's opinion.
Yeah, and, totally. I think that's a great thing.
I'm sure everyone was a little guarded at first, and there were some growing pains. But now, I mean, we have some 300 Mug Club members. We have all kinds of new people moving into Ferndale.
What a time to do it. I think it's a great time
really
to do that.
It is. And, you know, not only myself making these changes, but we've got some new people in the kitchen that are, you know, really understand food science and how to handle things, and a new front of the house management, which, you know, we have beer server certified bartenders. We've got the kind of a new winter menu coming out with like charcuterie boards and
fancy.
Yeah.
You know, if you asked me to say that word like five times, I couldn't do it.
I'm probably destroying it. It's probably like charcuterie.
It sounds awesome when you say it like that. Maybe because you got the beard rocking, and I don't know. I don't have a beard, so maybe it just sounds cooler. Yeah, maybe it just sounds cooler that way. So those are cool changes.
Yeah,
I like hearing this.
I think, you know, we're 21 years old this year, and, you know, you need to evolve a little bit, and that's even myself. If I had my way, it'd be like all like flat, warm British cask ales. But, you know, I'm learning that, you know, even myself, I have to evolve a little bit. And I might not like sour ales because they give me wicked heartburn. But other people do. So maybe it's time to read up and do something because, you know, it's modernized. Get with the times.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to hit 10 years with Motor City Brew Tours, my beer tour company, next year. And I feel like that too. Like when I first started, I wouldn't have considered myself a super diverse drinker at all. I think I liked what I liked, and I would dabble, but I didn't really drink hoppy beer, and I didn't really touch sours, and, you know, I don't know, I didn't really touch bourbon barrelage. Now I'm kind of all over the place, and I had to learn that because you're right, the customer is drinking that way,
if that's
aren't they?
You know,
they really are.
Make something for yourself, but if every customer you see in the tap room is like, when are you making a sour beer, dude? When are you making a
– yep.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Because that tells you they were somewhere else and had one, and they thought that's interesting. Like I just brought – I was doing a Waka tour in Detroit on last Saturday, sold out group. It was interesting. You know, I usually ask people questions like, how many people like hoppy beer? How many people like this? And, well, that tour starts at Jolly Pumpkin in Midtown. So I'm like, how many people like sour beer? Of 22 people – half raised their hand. And I was like, holy crap. Okay. You know, so then they were all excited. Like, well, what are you going to serve to us here at Jolly? And of course, I can't do everything there in pitchers because it gets a little costly.
Yeah, that would be a.
But people were excited about sours.
Of course.
And then we go in next door to Traffic Jam, and he still had one of the the Detroit Beer Experiment Faygo beers, that crazy sour red pop one that he had that's super, super red, like redder than these solo cups here. And anyway, people got to try some interesting stuff. It's neat to see people's reaction to it, and that you have customers come to them and asking you, hey, would you do a sour? Now, what does that do to your system then?
For my system personally, I can't get in the bugs, just too small of an area, nothing to work with. But I need to figure out a way to seal up the vent, and I'm good. Really, I think if I get like maybe a 12-inch piece of cork and line it with some rubber to stick it up there, thermal jacketed, should be fine to hold at a minimal temp. But it's really figuring that out. And I'm just, you know, like that's one of those things I never thought to make them because I don't really like them because I get wicked acid reflux.
Yeah.
Think they're tasty. I just don't like the aftermath.
I'm similar to that. I have to be real careful at like beer festivals as people are handing you stuff and you're I'm sitting there talking to a brewery and I'm there, hey, try this, you know, and I'm not always watching myself as good as I should. And
I want to say that's why I step heavily around it is because I got pretty bad beer festival, you know, drinking all the sours and then was just miserable the entire night.
How were you with so the last time you and I hung out was we did that fun bus thing.
Oh, yeah, the bus tour
with the Bee Nectar folks before their anniversary party the next day.
That was a great day.
That was a cool day.
Yeah.
And how were you – like, I don't know if I really – I must have talked to you briefly the next day, but I was there with my wife and a couple friends, and, I mean, wow – like, what a crazy – I drank all kinds of crazy stuff that day, and I didn't follow my normal rules. Like, I didn't really eat right away because I was meeting all these – just like you were meeting all these people from all over the country at the Bee Nectar 10th anniversary thing back in August. And I was like, holy cow, my body the next day – I haven't seen my wife hungover in a while. She was hungover.
And I like mead, but I'm a beer guy.
Yeah.
But I was hitting the rabbit's foot meadery.
I was hanging out with them a lot. Those people were really cool. Wasn't that like a husband-wife team or something, weren't they?
Mark and I want to say Maria.
That sounds right.
But,
yeah.
They were I met them, you know, very two cool. days of heavy drinking.
Yeah.
They great stuff. And then there was also I'll never remember the name, but there was a Belgian brewery that had a grisette that I was.
Okay.
So it was really like crush the heavy meads and then
plus,
go back.
Weren't there some guys from New Zealand? I can't think of those guys. Blonde hair.
No, they were from Norway.
Oh, Norway, not New Zealand. Yeah. What the hell am I saying? Norway, that's right. The other way.
The other way. They were from a small meadery in Norway. And those guys, they did a collaboration with Bee Nectar, if I'm remembering right.
That sounds right.
But it was a great day. I got to try a ton of great beers from Cigar City.
Oh, I had a whole bunch of Cigar City.
Yeah.
What's the famous barrel-aged one that they do on that special day with the word I can't pronounce? It starts with an H.
Hunapu Day.
There you go.
Hunapu, the Jai-Alai, which I'm probably messing that up.
Hi-Li. 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 I do know how to say that. Yeah. That's their IPA, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, yes, that stuff was spectacular.
Yeah, that was – anyone who didn't make it out to that missed out big time because there was a lot of room. I didn't have to wait in huge lines. That was a great day.
It's refreshing. You forget like how used to crowded festivals you get, and then you're at something where it's not like that. You're just like, this is heaven.
Yeah.
It's probably why I drank a little faster and a little too much and didn't – and I was having so much fun. In fact, both of my wife and I were that we didn't really eat, which is stupid. Like I never – do that. Like guild festivals, I don't know. I'm very disciplined, but for some reason I didn't follow those rules. And I know I ordered pizza and I took an Uber Lyft to a buddy's place and I feel like I ate an entire pizza or something after that.
I made sure to hit the nosh pit, had a little setup out front. So
that's the worst part, right? There are all those great food trucks and I still didn't grab anything.
Yeah, nope. You had to make it out front to get to the food truck.
Yeah, that was way too much work because I was having too much fun. But I made it through it though. That was good stuff. Like that's when I look back at the year, that's something I squarely look at. One, I got to meet you out of that, which I didn't really, we hadn't really talked
each other before.
Yeah, I always wanted to.
You know, that's just – I hope Brad does something similar to that in Ferndale again. But between that, between the, you know, the Pig and Whiskey and the my favorite DIY art fair, you know, and there's always some good beers to be had out there.
So those are great events. And that's what the DIY was started – well, actually, both of those were started by the owners of WAB, right?
Those were started by Chris and Krista at the WAB. DIY, I'm going to probably mess it up. I want to say this year was 13 years.
Sounds right. I remember seeing press releases talking to that. Amazing. What
an
amazing event.
That's my favorite
one. Some of the best parties I've been to.
Mm-hmm. And there's always great beers. You know, Shorts is there with a great lineup. Old Nation was there with the big hitters.
So do you help manage then the whole beer program at that? Is that fall to you, or does that fall to more front of house and management?
That
or?
Falls on one of our main managers. He's the one that lines that up. I make sure jockey boxes are set up. I make sure everyone's pouring right. And I maintain my own beers because I sell
a lot,
30 odd beers. Like, if I have 7.5 barrel serving tanks, Pig and Whiskey, I'll sell almost an entire serving tank.
Wow.
Just clear it right out. Crazy. And I've only got 3 fermenters. So I'm really, you know, trying to get caught back up.
Okay.
So just managing my stuff alone is huge. But then at the end of the festival, I'm taking on other stuff because I see other people working, and I'm not just going to go home because my – bye, guys. Beer's done. Screw you while you work till 3 a.m. So
no doubt.
I go throw a hand in and help everyone. It's a really big production. There's a lot that goes on. I've been living in Ferndale for 17 years.
Okay.
So to actually work one and see what happens, like, they're already –
must give you a whole different perspective.
They're already working on it right now.
Yeah.
We're not even into 2019. So – but that's it. There's always some great beers to be had at those, and there's just – it's Ferndale. There's just a great way to be out and see stuff and have fun.
Yeah, how cool for you to already be basically familiar with what's going on and then to come in and you know, here you are doing it. You're making it.
That was one of my favorite things about, you know, scoring this position is I grew up in Hazel Park. I've lived in Ferndale. I moved here in 2001. I've lived in all four corners of Ferndale pretty much.
Okay.
And I just bought a home in Ferndale a few years ago, 5 years ago.
So, congratulations on being a homeowner.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Yeah, sometimes
it's a big, big adult move, right?
Yeah, right now I feel like totally Money Pit and Tom Hanks. Like,
it won't always be that way, though. I'm on my third place now, and this last place I bought new.
Oh, nice.
So now I almost – it's funny that my friends who aren't in quite that scenario that they're where you're saying – and they're putting a lot of money into their place. They're like, what have you done? I'm like, well, I mowed the lawn this summer, yeah. You know, and I did a little land. I had a little landscaping done in front, but that's it. It's a new house. Like, what the hell do I need to do?
Yeah, mine's 100 years old.
Yeah,
or
that's 90
years old.
That's what I'd expect
year.
You to say for Ferndale.
Yeah, 90
right?
years old this year. But next house will definitely be just help my dad move into like a new subdivision. And I was just like, this is so nice. Like, yeah, that's the next move.
It's well, I've had the luxury of – I had a job transfer back to this market like 16 years ago or so. That got me into a newer place then.
Okay.
But a company paid to relocate me and paid down some of that mortgage. So I always say, well, you know, it didn't start like that, you know. I lived in some crappy little place in Chicago for a long time, and moving here was like winning the lottery versus what I paid there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just move up from that because you build equity and good things happen from, and that's why you did this, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I love,
it'll pay off.
I love my home. I love my neighborhood, but you know, it's just one of those things with 100 years, almost 100 years. You're chasing.
Sure you are.
But it's a really great place. And, I mean, I've been living here for a while, so I didn't take off when everyone else was – all my friends were taking off to New York or Denver or Chicago. Half of them came back. But, so it's nice to be involved in the community that I've been living in for so long. And then, you know, we have like places like Urban Rest opening up and all down there right by them. There's
last month I had Adam from Axel on here, by the way.
Totally. Right down the street from my house.
Eventually I'll get Zach from Urban Rest on here. I just haven't yet.
Yep.
I should try to do that, and I'll do 3 Ferndale episodes in a row. That'd be funny.
Have us all on. We've been talking about trying to get together and do like a Ferndale fermentation friend thing. So every time we see each other, we talk about doing a little collab. So hopefully that'll actually come to
fruition.
That's
fun. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, it's like we're neighbors, and you know, people are like, oh, what do you think about Brooks coming in? It's like, sweet, bring more people
right?
to Ferndale.
Why not?
That means the next person that drives from Shelby area into Ferndale, guess what they're going to do? They're going to spend the whole time hitting
B-Nectar,
Sellerman's, Urban Rest, Axel. They're going to spend the day in the area.
Yeah.
Go north of 696. You got, you know, there's so much cool stuff in the area. River Rouge and Royal Oak Brewing Company and Roke. It's just like more the merrier, I say. So it's really cool to see what's happening in the city, and I hope like the over by where Urban Rest and the coffee shop happens. I already see they have their own little things going on. They have their tree lighting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens in the coming years as we get the new
Plus
apartments.
The bike lanes that have been added.
The bike lane.
I've been loving
Livernois
that.
Is awesome.
I've used that a whole bunch of times now. I mean, I living in Berkeley, so I'm like 12 in Coolidge. Bam, I can jet down. So actually the last time I went to WAB was I biked over there when it was a little warmer.
I've already screamed at a couple cars driving in the bike lane, like, what are you doing in there? Shaking my fist at them. Like,
well, we need more people to do that because that's clearly a challenge. But I've been doing bike tours in the city of Detroit with my business for a long time, so I'm very familiar with how all that shit goes down. So it's an education. And
I just don't know how you get your car in the bike lane and then continue driving. It's pretty obvious that that's not meant for cars.
It's way more obvious in Ferndale than in other communities. Some communities, people just forget.
Like
Jefferson, where they put that on a road diet between kind of downtown all the way out to Grosse Pointe this year, we waited on taking tour groups on part of that for a while because we were like, cars need to get used to this. You know, and there they have protected bike lanes and spots too, and that's what you need, really.
Yeah,
you need more than just, you know, a lane.
It's really new. People will get to
it.
I think it's great. I love seeing where the whole neighborhood is going. I'm really happy. I bought a home in Ferndale, and I can't wait to see what, you know, I've been here for this long. I can't wait to see what the next 10 years has.
Ferndale is one of the communities that's going to add the bike share in next year. The MOGO system that's in Detroit, you know, those red bikes?
Yeah, that's cool.
They're expanding that system out here into Berkeley, Royal Oak, Huntington Woods, Oak Park, Ferndale. I think all those communities are included in what they're going to do. So that'll be interesting to see what – if it'll add more bikers or what it'll do.
I might use that to get to work instead.
No,
I
need shit,
to
buy, right?
I'll take my Vespa sometimes, but I need a new bike. I walk sometimes, but if there was one of those at the end of the block, I might just grab the bike share bike.
Well, and that's totally what they're meant for.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago's had them for a while. Whenever I go to Chicago, and since I live there, I know my way around public transit a little better, but – there's gaps, right? Like I'd be, I want to go to this new brewery. Oh, well, the L stop, which is the train system, that's here. I don't really want to have to walk like a mile, you know. But I've used those bikes. It's called Divi there, but it's the same concept. And you just figured that out. Like, okay, well, they put them right by train stations, right? You come off a train, bam, there's like 10 bikes sitting there. Jump on that. And now they got these electric scooters.
Yeah,
you've seen those in the city.
I was just going to say, I've even seen a couple of the Razor scooters come through recently. So
yeah, we'll see about that. I don't know. I'm like,
I've almost hit one of those.
Yeah.
A kid on one of those who was in the middle of the street. I'm like, as long as you got to get, if you're going to ride in the street, ride with the rules, you know, and I think those are better suited for on the sidewalks.
I agree. And it's a challenge for sure.
It's,
we only had about a month or so of it on bike tours in the summer, but next year it'll be all over the place. So we'll see. So, okay, so you're cracking right now.
Collaboration. Yeah, I went out to Ascension and brewed with the Ascension dudes, and we brewed this IPA with some the Kvik strain from Omega Labs, the Hornendahl.
You just say that like I had that in my pocket or something.
Yeah.
Thank you.
it ferments really hot. It's an ale strain, which normally you'd ferment, you know, somewhere in the 60s. This one we knocked out at 94 degrees and fermented at 100 degrees.
Oh, wow.
It gives and also with the amazing West Michigan hops we're using, Chinook and Simcoe, it's just super pineapple on pineapple on pineapple.
Oh, wow. That's really tasty.
Yeah. And we brewed this.
I'm digging that.
We brewed this at the WAB on Friday, and it was ripping away so hard. It's almost ready. I did a little bit of a yeast dump today, and the whole brew house lit up smelling like pineapples.
You were saying that when you came in. I'm like, holy cow, boy, that is nice.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm excited. I've been wanting to work with Omega Labs for a while. I've been wanting to work with the Kvik for a while. I've been talking about doing a collab with those dudes for a while, and it was just like, let's do it. You know, and finally, after 2 years, we finally busted something fun out and we had a blast. And I think it's a really good beer. And I can't wait to work with more of this Kvik yeast in the future. So
this is great. Wow. Yeah. Ooh. I'll just go home, take a nap after this, I think. That's what I'm going with now.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about other collaborations then. Oh, man, it's making me burp. So you're part of the Brewpub Club.
Oh, yeah, the Brewpub Club, and I wish I could have brought some of that. But
you guys just did one, what, last week, right? And you guys were at – or maybe 2 weeks ago, you guys were at Lily's.
And I'm really bummed I had to miss it.
I didn't look tight at the pitcher. I guess I would have noticed – I would notice that beard in that pitcher, right?
But, it might have hid behind Jeremy's beard. But, I was behind at work and it was a brew day. But, we did one at Lily's. We've done one.
So for folks who don't know, kind of explain what that is first before you dive in.
So basically, the difference between brew pubs and microbreweries is we can't distribute. There's little other variances, but the biggest thing is we can't distribute. So we're just trying to bring some awareness to, all these places that are pumping out some really great, really fresh beer, but might be kind of under the radar because you don't see them. You don't see them at the stores. You're not chasing bottles because we don't have them. So some of them are on a smaller system. Some of us are on bigger systems. But either way, I mean, you come to WAB, you come to Royal Oak Brewery, you go to Black Lotus. That IPA is no more than 2 months old tops. You talk about fresh, wanting fresh beers. I mean,
that's as fresh as you get.
Not a 15 barrel batch of IPA at the WAB. I not going to last 2 months. So you're not getting into that like the New England IPA I did a couple months back didn't even make it 2 months. And that's fresh. You're getting really great fresh beers. You're also some of us have worked in the production facilities where those bottles were on.
So you know the difference.
Yeah, and it sucks when you hear like, oh, or you go into a store and you saw a bottle that your hands were on and you pick it up and it's 3 months old and you're like, how much longer is that going to hang out, And most of us, some of us came from places like that. We've got, experience. People have the knowledge. And it's kind of like a nice, chill, settled down place to be. You're cranking out what you want to crank out. You have really fresh beer. But, it's not in your face because you're just not, people aren't chasing the bottles. You're not seeing them on the shelf at Target or Meijer or the beer store. So we're just trying to raise awareness about all these great breweries with really talented brewers all around. I mean, getting into Dave's Hilltop Brewery out in Clarkston. That's somebody we're talking with doing something next. Some great
that place
beers.
Is jamming, by the way. I've brought people out there.
I need to go there. Great beers.
It's real funny. The other show I do with Paul Starr is called Two Beers In, and we rotate different breweries around Metro Detroit typically. And we were out there, I don't remember when now, earlier in the year, and we're like, oh, we'll just pick a Tuesday when they're dead or something. So we go there on a Tuesday, and that place was jamming. They were jam-packed with people. We're like, holy crap. We just had to get like somewhere in the back corner because we're trying to tape something, And they're doing some volume out there. There obviously was a gap of – if you look at where that is, there isn't really a lot of breweries close to there.
Out there, yeah.
Not like, at all.
That would be a hike for me to get out to.
It is a big hike. When I did it for a bus tour last year, maybe this time last year I did it, and I did Fenton Winery and Brewery. I did Northern Oak Brewery in Holly, which was fun.
Yeah.
And then I did Parker's. And it was a wild route, but it actually made sense when you looked at it on a map. And then we took people back to Royal Oak where the bus drop was. And it was a fun – and everyone on that bus was like, I never would have driven this way, But, that's what you have to do when you're trying to pick kind of three places to take people to in that way. And I've done that for years. I totally understand the concept of I want to take people to places where they can only get it there. I prefer to do that.
It's something special, and I don't know. And that's really what the Brew Pub Club is about is doing something we want to do. We came to the WAB. I wanted to do English bitter. I wanted to do like low 3.8%.
And you got a nice one on your menu. I've had it the last couple times I've been there.
I drink, especially at 3.8%. I drink a ton of that.
And that's why I drank it, for
sure. And
this
Wickel beer at 4.2%, so I can, have a couple.
Which is what we were starting with here.
Yeah, when we did the one at a Detroit Beer Company, we put like, I can't remember how much, but it was a gigantic chunk of hop hash from Top Hops. Sean gave us this, and it just super stinky. There was a Berliner Weiss we did with Nick from Black Lotus. And we just do something fun that like we want to do, not like something that has to be done or something that's always on the menu. And it's just a way to raise a little bit of like, hey, guys, we're over here, and making some cool stuff.
I've taken a lot of part of my walk a tour in Royal Oak is River Rouge, Royal Oak Brewery, and it's Lily's. That's my route.
Yeah.
Used to be Boston before they switched it over to Jolly, and it's a whole different conversation. Doesn't matter. Anyway, a lot of people were like, I didn't know they made beer at Lily's, because the sign says Lily's Seafood, and then there's like a little sign that says brewery, right? Yeah, and people forget that, but like they're a
– beer's great.
They're a great story. I've had the brothers on before. And, you know, I've known the family for a long time. And it's another good example of someone like yourself, like at a brewery that's been around a while. And, you know, now those guys are in there doing fun new stuff, mm-hmm. just like you're doing new stuff at Woodward Avenue Brewers.
They've doubled their tap list. Last time I went in, you know, you had the mainstays, and then there was a whole nother side to the menu with, you know, pretty much if whatever you could want, it's there. And they've got a great menu for food. That's been one of my main places. I mean, I've been going there and been going to Royal Oak Brewery for as long as I can remember. And it's kind of usually it's Lily's for brunch on Sundays, Royal Oak Brewery kind of a mid afternoon.
Okay.
You know?
Sounds like a good day to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two places have been, you know, huge on my list for years. And like you said, now you got River Rouge there, and there's just great time to be in Oakland County for a beer geek.
Yeah, I always say we're kind of spoiled over here.
Oh, yeah.
Because we could do a lot in a pretty short area.
Yeah.
It's like when a friend's like, do you want to drive out to blank? And I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
You know, because I do all this. In the summer, I can bike into Royal Oak or Ferndale or Clawson. I've biked into Clawson done Black Lotus. I'm now a Mug Club member at Black Lotus, Lily's, Royal Oak Brewery, and River Rouge.
Nice.
So, yeah. Although Black Lotus, you know, on their 12th anniversary, they were doing $12 Mug Club memberships. So I remember I went out there with like six people. Like we all bought one. You know, I was fairly like – I was probably once a month at Black Lotus. But I typically would hit up happy hour with a friend. They got a nice happy hour in there.
Those are the best. I mean, I'm kind of a thrifty, if you will, you mm-hmm. know, so it's always nice to hit the place to have a good happy
Well, we're not
hour.
Getting rich doing what we're doing, but we're having fun, and I'm not bitching about it. I'm just saying that we do need to understand when there's happy hours.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
just like Woodward Avenue Brewers. Like, how many times have I been there on a Sunday? I've done Sunday a bunch of times when you guys do $3 pints.
And that's
a stellar
deal.
That's
tradition. And when I first came in, I was like, no, absolutely. And I get why it's there now. 3 years down the line, I love it, and I think it's a great – and I mean, same reason I took advantage of the discount Sundays, you know, when I was 21, 22 years old living in Ferndale. I think it's a great day, and especially Sundays. There's so much competition everywhere. And
well, now with the whole world wanting brunch.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't a thing with – you know, now it's all these breweries like Axel or whatever that do brunch things that didn't before.
Yeah. Axel's got a really nice brunch. That's fancy brunch.
Yeah, I'm not real fancy though. I'm sure it's great, right? I'm sure it's real great. But I'm a pretty basic Coney Island kind of guy for lunch. So
I think we're a great Sunday fun day, $3 pint deal. You know,
yeah, I dig that.
Mug Club members have their discount, and then they have a day where they get a discount. Wednesdays is our Mug Club member night. And Mug Club members also get a free howler fill a month. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's
a pretty interesting Mug Club program. You guys had a lot of perks under that Mug Club program. I think I read two parties. Is that what?
Yeah, we throw two, and we're getting the next one together where, you know, throw out some food, spread. I usually do some special beers and put out a jockey box with, like, something special or, you know, something I mixed up special for
that. You said you got about 300 on that.
Yeah, and I've got, like, I know, and I can't remember who the names because I don't see them. I've got even one guy who moved out to the New Hudson area, and he still makes sure to come in once
Holy
a
crap.
Month.
Yeah. That's a hike.
We've got some pretty loyal Mug Club members. Our 20th anniversary, we sold them for $20 a piece halfway through.
Okay.
But you know.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
It's $100 up front, but really your howler fill a month more than pays for that.
Surely.
The two Mug Club parties that we do, also other little specials. There's other little random perks that pop up now and then, you know. I think it's a pretty solid, worthwhile deal, especially for the people that live in the neighborhood. that are, and those are my friends that are like, you know, that'll call me like, what's the howler of the month? I'm like, just go up. Like, you know, you're going to go anyways, dude. But just the fact that you get the howler a month more than covers it. And if you're close by, you know, that's, it's just totally worth it.
What a good size. I really like the howler size now.
And I think it's perfect. The growler, you know, it's one of those ones that you open it and it's not the best the next day, unless you really want to power through.
I'm just not always doing that. Like, my wife doesn't drink beer. So if I get a growler, like, and if I'm not cracking it with some buddies, like, I'm drinking that thing.
Especially if you grab a big one and then you don't want to waste it.
I remember the time I got, like, Scotty Karate from Dark Horse on my way back from Marshall. And then I just killed that in a night. And I just had a, you know, wicked, next day I'm like, what was I thinking, you know?
Mine was a Growler of Delusion.
Oh, God.
Yeah, my last day at Greenbush. Oof. I took home a Growler of Delusion and I drank it.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
But that, and then, you know, and even on that we're going to start canning. We've got a October.
Everything you brought here was cans. That's exciting.
So that one we tried one way. It didn't work too good. So I'm training the front of the house staff on ripping cans one at a time for what people need. So that's another perfect way. You know, you can just drink one or two. But yeah, the Howler, the cans, the October. I think those are the best things to go. And then the fact that October is a Michigan-based company, I love seeing those when I go into tap rooms or holiday market, or just great way to take home beer.
Yeah, it's really a fun time for getting beer from places to go now, where it used to always just be the growler. And now it's like, bam, when Oscar Blues started bringing crawlers out in the market, that really lit a fire under people if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, well, wait a minute. Now we got this 32-ounce. Now we got 16 and 12-ounce form factors that we didn't have before. So now you can sell stuff in different ways. You could do different releases and then can stuff in short runs that people weren't doing that before.
And just you're going to sell to more people. Like we were saying, you know, the growler goes pretty quick. It's a big glass growler. Somebody from New Jersey was in and took a bunch of cans home. They probably wouldn't have taken Howlers or Growlers home.
Yeah, I agree.
But they were
with
like,
that.
Oh, let's rip
cans.
Yeah, grab me a couple 4-packs of cans, stash it in the trunk, all good.
I was just down in Columbus. I went to the BrewDog brewery hotel thing down there. Are you familiar with all that?
Yeah,
they got that hotel they put next to their huge
shower and
center.
Beers, and they're like, or is there a beer tap in the
it's,
room?
It's sort of weird what it is. It's a small refrigerator that essentially you put a growler in that then they are running something through it to have it on tap.
Oh, they made it seem way cooler than
I know.
It was.
I thought I was going to be in the shower, like, I don't know, naked with beer falling down
all
over
me. Ripping a tap off onto the side.
Yeah, that wasn't really how it shook out. Although the rooms are very cool. I'm not trying to diss it or anything. But there is a shower fridge. That's not in the shower, but it's next to the shower, and that's cool.
That's close enough.
It's close, right? And then there's another fridge in the main room that's like under where this weird kegerator thing was. That's not really a kegerator, and that had like curated beers in it, like really crazy shit. And I didn't really drink any of those because I'm like, I'm here, I want to drink BrewDog the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I did. And like the where you check in there is like a bar, basically. Like there's the main pub. And it's huge, right? But then there's next to it where the hotel is. There's only 32 rooms. So there's this lobby area that's basically a bar. And everyone who was staying there at night just hung out. Yeah. So like – and I was on the first floor. So I just walk over, grab a couple beers out of my room, sit out there. But you could get stuff on draft right from this other bar. It was wild.
Nice. Very
how they
cool.
did it.
There's
yeah.
so much beer in Ohio. There's-
so yeah. And my whole point of staying that was all the beer I brought back was canned.
Oh,
bring back
very-
anything bottled.
And that's it. I think, you know, the cans that we grew up with or we remember, that's not the case now. I mean,
very true.
You don't get the huge aluminum vibe from it, and everyone's changing from it. And honestly, pour into a glass anyways because it tastes better.
I was explaining that to someone on a walk-a tour last weekend because both this guy and girl were both kind of like, oh, man, I don't like out of cans. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, buy a can and just the second you crack it, you just put it in a glass. You will forget it came from a can.
Yeah.
I go, it's not like you're sitting there licking the can or something.
Totally. If you take your time and at the very end you might, you know, drinking from the can, you might be like, oh, it's a can. But really, just open it and put it in a glass anyways.
Yeah. And I told him, I go, you do that and eventually you'll just get past the can thing. And like, I'm so past it. I'm sure I was like that when I started, you know.
Well, I mean, it's also like I like camping and I like kayaking and I can stash a couple cans with me where I'm not taking bottles on the river, you know. I'm not taking bottles with me where I'll take a couple cans with me camping. I'll take a couple cans with me kayaking.
So have you always been an outdoor person? You look like you just came in from outdoors, yeah, that I've, you were camping before you showed up here.
That's just
– Well, I wasn't – I was saying it way nicer than yeah. that. Jeez.
you know, I grew up with – my family had some property in the northwest area of Michigan, and I spent my youth running around in northwest Michigan. I love northern Michigan. I'm most home, like, kind of in the that area of, like, I love the Lake Michigan rec area out by the Nordhaus Dunes. Like, that whole area is just, okay. is home to me. And so, yeah.
All my relatives, my parents grew up in Ludington area.
Yep.
So all my youth, I would go up and spend a whole week up on Lake Michigan. We'd be camp. Well, okay, when I say I was camping, why don't I correct this? So my grandparents were into RVs, so – as a kid, I thought camping was my grandma was making – I would wake up inside an RV and my grandma be making breakfast inside the RV.
Nice.
Okay. So that's kind of how I knew it. Now, it's not that I wasn't in swimming in the lake and playing and getting dirty and shit, but I definitely wasn't tenning at that point.
Yeah, we had like a nice A-frame. Yeah, grandma made, you know, eggs and bacon and coffee and stuff like that, and we did a little other camping. But I definitely got the cabin experience growing up. We did a little camping with the family, but that's it. Michigan's such a great place.
Oh,
that.
I think it's something that I just love about being here is that all the outdoors options.
Yep. And that's my area, Wexford County, Ludington, Clare Chase, that out there. So that's – are you familiar with the dog man legend from out there?
No, please tell me. Why don't I know that? No, please tell me.
No, that's a huge – it's in Michigan. It's there's a whole – and I think it just came from a disc jockey that – wrote a song about this like werewolf thing. But when I was a kid, my dad played me the song, and then we went on a walk out in the woods, and my grandpa's like, oh, look, there's a full moon. Where'd your dad go? And my dad was like howling like several feet behind us and just scared the shit out of me. But it's terrified, scarred for life. But it's also spurred this whole like Western Michigan dog man, which is our, like, werewolf, and it's, like, the whole legend, you know, like, some loggers out in that area
okay.
were kicking a – chasing and kicking a little scrawny dog that was running around and then stood up and walked on all
– I don't know why I don't know
yeah,
this. Wow,
so
okay.
Go YouTube the Michigan Dogman song because you'll hear the original 1980s – 80s.
If we were a better podcast, I'd have some technical producer. Yeah. He'd be, like – looking that up right now, but we're not that show, so it's the you and I show right now. So,
but Ludington, Wexford County is totally where the whole like
okay.
myth
I
has,
did not
has
know that. Wow, you taught me something.
Yeah, it's just I'm scarred now because of this. I'll always remember the dog man.
I'd love to get up in that area a little more often. A downside of running a tour company is my busiest season's in the summer here.
And in the weekends.
And on the weekends. So, like, I really don't get up that way like I used to, and I miss it. You know, I got cousins that still live up there and a couple aunts and uncles, and I totally have free places to stay and access to, you know, everything basically, and I still don't get to take advantage of it like I
it's
should.
Such a great area.
It's why I started doing bike tours, so at least I could be outside doing on a bike.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing, I guess. But yeah, I'm going to try to make a visit there next summer and have some fun. I've definitely done some mountain biking up that way, and I've done some rail trail riding. There's a really good rail trail that the White Pine Trail. Is that what that's called? The White Pine Trail. Yeah. That goes up along Lake Michigan. There's a lot along Lake Michigan where you could bike.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to use that old train line that goes let's see, like where it crosses over by Reed City, there's a train line that used to go all the way into Ludington that's now defunct. And eventually they're going to develop that as a rail trail that's going to go all the way through into there.
Nice. That's quite a bit of area. I think
it's
huge. I'm like kind of seeing it in my head. If
yeah.
it's the train tracks that I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about it, there's nothing on that. Now there's snowmobilers on it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the challenge up there when you think about it is when they develop trails like that, they have to develop in mind for the area. So it can't just be about walkers, runners, bikers when you have all these months of snow and all these people snowmobile.
Yeah. And that's,
right?
That's a large chunk of
that's
time.
That's a huge
in
chunk.
That area.
All my cousins snowmobile, so they'd be like, "Yeah, that's great that that trail got built, but I want to be on it with my sled."
Yeah, out the way.
Right? No shit. So, yeah, what a great stay. I mean, we could travel here for life, going to different destinations like that.
I have just a book of little trips, and I could probably just never do a single one over again and not be able to hit them all. You know, I have my places I like to hit again, but I have so many other like kayaking trips. Like you have the biking. There's so much, and some of the places I have.
I think it would never end with kayaking. Yeah.
No, it's even with biking, and most of the places that I'm looking at have like a bike trail that's been added to it, and it's just. I know I'm a big fan. I shouldn't give all my secret spaces out, but Pete's Lake in the UP.
Okay.
And you have hiking trails.
I don't know Pete's Lake, so.
Yeah. Find it.
No shit. I got to look that one up.
Finding it.
Right?
but there's a great lake right off there where I can just like throw my kayak over my shoulder, hike about a quarter mile in, and I'm right off the lake. In that hike to the campsite, there's another trail that goes off, and you can ride a bike through that trail or you can hike it, and it has like a couple spots and a couple little waterfalls. So like just in this one rec area, you could spend your weekend hiking, biking, and kayaking and still go across the street, which you'd have to like get all the way out of the campsite and go across the road. But there's another lake and another bike trail. And it's just like, I don't think if you really wanted to line them up, you could just keep yourself busy.
Oh, surely.
Especially with our 6 months of winter that we get now where, you know, you only got a few months to get your biking or kayaking in. So
I think people forget how many trails we really have in the state and how many lakes we really have in the state. There's definitely a lot of pushes. Even if you look at those Pure Michigan campaigns and how they promote tourism, they're always pushing lake recreation and rivers.
Where do you want to go? There's always a lake. There's always a river.
Those are definitely kind of 1, 2, 3 of what people do. You know. And then there's, of course, foodie drink tourism in our world here. And that's always right up in there too. Now it's really a combination of it. And it's – you know, when I started doing bike tours, it made me realize – how many of my customers were just like that, right?
Yeah.
They like to do stuff outside, and they liked good locally made products, and it kind of goes hand in hand.
It really does.
If you believe in that world, then you know you enjoy outside more, and you're not sitting hidden in some room somewhere, you know, trying to hack the world or something.
Yeah. Well, I like my time stuffed away, hidden in the room, playing video games too.
That's a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
a little bit of both. Moderation all around.
I got to say, both these beers have been great that we're drinking here. I'm enjoying them immensely.
Appreciate it, yeah. Completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Like
very much so.
Low ABV, super dry and super fruity. And then, like I said, I brought the Woodward Avenue Blonde, which is just a real simple beer-flavored beer.
Beer-flavored beer, huh?
Beer-flavored beers are generally my favorite beers. But like we were saying, with taste change – a couple years ago, like Zwickel beer, Pilsner, Blonde would not have – I would want all the hops and all the barrel. And now I'm just like, who's just got some beer-flavored beer, guys?
Right.
So
it is nice to see the trend back to some basic styles. And we're not all crazy hopped everywhere all the time. It's not that we can't drink that. But so you said you have been buying some hops from Top Hops. I was just talking to Sean, actually. What is the day today? I was talking to Sean on Monday. I'm going to do a bike ride to his hop farm next year.
That would be great.
It's, I've actually done it before. It's going to be called Tour to Hops, and it's going to go from Fenton Winery and Brewery on back roads to Top Hops out in Goodridge, Michigan. And there is a way to do it. I figured out this weird back road way. You zigzag through some subdivision. If you go on the back corner of the subdivision through some concrete barrier edge, you get back onto some other dirt road, and then I can make it all the way into where – he is, and we'll do like a tour of the hop farm when we get out there with Sean and his dad, and we'll drink a beer, and then we'll bike back.
They're great. That sounds like a great day. That area out there is so nice. I've sadly not been able to make it to his hop farm.
Bought stuff from him.
Yeah, he has his day where he has everyone come, but it's always right as we're doing DIY festival, so we're kind of stretched, and I've never made it out, but. Yeah, I get really great hops from him. I get really great hops coming from the Traverse City area, from Michigan Hop Alliance.
Right.
If it's an American ale, I try to buy Michigan hops. So any of our American IPAs, any of our Michigan hops, they're great. The quality is there. the people are putting themselves behind the product.
We've really come a long way the last few years as more acreage has come online and better quality hops for that matter.
Even over the 3 years I've been in this area buying, I'm seeing – and I see them getting together and discussing and trying to figure out better ways, like, you know, how we get together as brewers – talk about better ways to do our stuff. They're getting better. They're getting together as hop growers and farmers, discussing better ways to, you know, safer, more food safe ways. And I can't wait to see where we are in the next 5 years.
I think it's a fun time to be making beer here in Michigan.
It really, a lot
of diversity of ways you could get ingredients that you couldn't get before,
local,
or otherwise.
Working on, you know, the malt is there from what I love to work with them. I'm hearing Empire Malt is amazing.
Oh, okay.
And I knew that was something we've been struggling a little
bit with. Yeah, totally.
But from some people that have put out some pretty quality beers, and I'm hearing really looking to Empire
we got,
Malting.
Locally, we got what? Motor City Malt?
Motor City Malt.
That's another
Empire
one.
Malt. Pilot Malt.
And
just
Pilot.
Its,
that's the other one. That's
thing.
Right.
But there's one more. I want to say like Macon Creek Malt maybe. But there's a couple, and that's it, man. I really hope that we can get our – and the farmer's got to want to plant it. And the farmer's got to want to have some safeguards. Only 50% of barley is actually brewing-grade barley.
Okay.
So there's got to be – just like there's some safeguards for the hop farmers. There's – you know, we're getting there. That's beyond what I really – you know, my base of knowledge. But knowing that they're talking about this stuff, that
– it's a good sign.
The money we paid into our like liquor licenses, taxes were only going towards winemakers, and with all the brewers in the state coming together and going to Legislation Day, put together by the Michigan Brewers Guild. You know, we've talked to our legislators, and now it's that whole board is now called the Craft Beverage Board, and money is actually going to go in instead of just going to soil for grapes and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be going into stuff for growing barley, into stuff for farming hops, into soil tests for that. So I think in the years to come, we are going to see the quality of the barley come up to the quality of the hops. Now we've got the Michigan terroir. We've just got our – we have a good climate for growing hops. You know, we don't have the climate that maybe Wisconsin or Minnesota or some of those other barley growing regions have. But at the same time, you know, we put the research in there. I'm sure we can get there.
Yeah, very cool. Wow. Well, we could probably go on and on with that subject, couldn't we?
Oh,
but
yeah.
We're going to run out of time here in a couple minutes. So let's see. What did I not talk about that I had in my notes? Wow, you really hit almost everything. Very good. Almost like we rehearsed it but didn't rehearse
it. Yeah, nice talking with you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate having you on. I can't wait to do some work with you in the coming year or so here. That was I always have like another motive when I bring on a guest, like, hey, I had this idea, right, that I'll talk about off air. But it's nice to see you make it happen here at Woodward Avenue Brewers the last couple of years. It's always fun to see new blood coming into breweries and shake things up and take a place that's been around since 1997 and do some new stuff. So I'm glad to hear all the changes they're doing over there and you doing some fun stuff with beer and new people doing stuff with food and then the other properties with the Emery and Loving Touch that they already own. And of course, the stuff behind there, what's that called? Port?
Port, yeah. We've got which is our rum bar basically for summertime. And actually for this winter, we're putting to use our cafe, which normally closes in the summer, and we're calling it Alchemy. So I don't really want to brew 15 barrels of, you know, stuffing 15 apple pies into something. But basically,
we'll leave that to Ripe Brain.
Yeah, and that's cool. But basically this way, we're going to take some of our base beers. We're going to have some French presses. We're going to make some cold press coffees. We're going to have some tricks and some marshmallows. We're going to have some savory stuff, and you're going to pick your base beer and French press some stuff into it. Take maybe what's left over and make it into a dessert. We're also going to have beer-based cocktails. Since we are a brew pub and we can serve liquor.
You could do all that.
You know, and this room normally sits unused.
Okay.
And on top of all that fun stuff, if, you know, the people that come to the web know how it is, and when our peak hours, we can get busy restaurants. Johnny, and it's not really a place where you sit and talk to your bartender about beer. Downstairs, all the bartenders will be beer server certified through Cicerone Beer Server Certified, and it'll be more like taproom vibe where you can sit and bullshit with somebody about beer. A little more intimate, a little more low key than upstairs, which, you know, I don't, we are a brewery, but upstairs when it's go time, it's like a restaurant, especially if there's a show at the Loving Touch.
Yeah. You got to knock it out.
Cranking it out. And
yeah. I've been there a couple times when there's a show next door.
It's not that much of an intimate experience, you know, it's nice for, but to be able to like sit and talk beer with somebody that knows beer. Or to be like, oh, let's take this beer and let's put, you know, some of this like nice fruit puree into it and some of this, you know, apple compote and make something. It's like if the brewer's already doing it in the mash tun and in that, and I'm seeing people at home French pressing Cocoa Puffs into their stout.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you know what? Let's come in here and let's have some pre-portioned, pre-thought out. You know, measurements and really have a experience. It's something if you would ask me to do this 3 years ago.
I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Totally. Absolutely not. But, you know, as times are changing and people are changing and, yeah, make a white Russian using some stout or whatever it is, you know, like I think that's cool and it's just a different way to use the beer to do something fun.
I mean, it's just like when brewers started working with coffee.
100%. I love coffee, so I never questioned it. But it is. It's. The
but a
same.
Lot of people were. You know.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
how. That's how I kind of got into coffee. Like I wasn't a coffee drinker. I'm still not really a coffee drinker. But I got interested in brewers working the coffee and the flavors coming from that. And then I got it. Like I understand why people drink coffee.
Other than addiction.
Other than well, yeah.
Which
clearly,
I love coffee.
Right.
I have a huge coffee.
So true.
Yeah.
So when are we gonna get to experience this at the lab?
It's
then?
In the. Final stages
yeah, I thought
of
so.
Building out the basement's getting a little bit of an overhaul to make it a little more bar feeling. But within the next couple weeks, keep an eye
very
on.
Cool.
We finally hired somebody running our Instagram and Facebook.
You guys have very regular posts on there.
Yeah, Sadie's been great, and she's going to let everyone know what's happening when it happens, along with all the great new beers that we have coming up for the winter months.
Super. Well, I look forward to trying all those things. Chris, I want to thank you for coming
on. Thank you for having
the
me.
Beer Tour Guy Show episode 18 next month. I think I'm gonna have Sherwood Brewing on. We'll
nice.
See.
They, very cool.
They didn't send that 100% email, but we'll assume that's gonna just magically all happen, right? But Chris, I want to thank you for coming on. If people want to get more information about Woodward Avenue Brewers, they can check out Instagram, Facebook, their website, or just go into Ferndale. It's right off 9 Mile. You can't miss it. It's just the
two
other
blocks south of 9 Mile, right off Woodward. Come and visit
us. I meant right off Woodward, a couple blocks south of 9 Mile. That's what I meant.
Either way,
to say.
We're right there. We're right there. We're right in Ferndale. Come visit us. Come visit all of our awesome neighbors. You'll be a happy person, I promise.
Well, thanks again for coming on and bringing these great beers to share. Everybody else, I want to thank Podcast Detroit Studios here in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan, the Better on Draft Boys at betterondraft.com. And, of course, my company, MotorCityBrewTours.com. You could go there, learn more about events I'm doing. You can listen to this podcast, and you can hear Chris's beautiful voice once we make that available in the next day. So thank you very much for listening. We will see you guys next year.